listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm your host, Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio this month with my co-hosts, Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. This month, we're going to be talking about disaster prep for seniors, and we're coming into those winter months when not necessarily disasters, but certainly emergencies tend to happen more and more. And how can you and your family members be best prepared for this kind of thing? So that's our topic for the day. So hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joanne.
So why don't we start with, What are some of the things that seniors need to know? Doug, why don't we start with you about disaster preparedness? Emergency preparedness really is what we're talking about.
Well, I think one thing that everyone needs to know is when the power goes out, obviously the power goes out. We talked before the show about the handheld phones, the cordless phones that are really beneficial to a lot of people, but also keep a landline because the cordless phone won't work with power out, but the landline will. The landline is the old-fashioned plug-in directly into the wall phone. And another thing is to think about batteries, having battery backups, batteries for your radios, for flashlights, for little lanterns so you'll be able to see around the house. And a lot of people have gotten into the habit of replacing the batteries, like in their smoke detectors, each year, like on New Year's Day. Well, go back and do that with your radios and do that with your flashlights and update your medication list. Just sort of do a New Year's regathering. And then make sure that you have all in a central spot. I mean, in a little kit would be best, but you have those type of things that you would need if you had to pick up and go. Things like a list of your medications. Things like emergency contacts. If someone has a durable power of attorney and you've got your copy of that, take that with you. Emergency contact numbers, all that kind of stuff. Make sure that it's kind of all in one place or in a kit itself, a little bag or something, so that no matter where you go, even if you sort of get a little confused because of all the stress and anxiety and everything, you've got the information there that someone can actually help you with.
Well, so the idea then really is that the time to prepare for an emergency is well before the emergency happens, so that you're not trying to grab all this stuff while you're confused and upset and things may be flying around. And if there's, say, an earthquake, things are very disorienting. The time to think about this is ahead of time. And so right now we're in a phase where the weather's a little bit calm. I probably shouldn't even say that out loud. But we do have a lot of power outages here, and power outages can be really disconcerting because of all the things that we own that are kind of important to us that rely on that electricity that are plugged into the wall. And that landline phone that Doug is talking about is just a simple phone. You can go to just about any big box store and buy one for about $9, just a simple little phone that has no electrical connections on it except that plug that goes into the wall. And as long as that landline service is still coming into your house, that phone will work, and it won't have an answering machine on it, and it won't have any fancy doodads, but it will get you connected to the phone line. So, Michelle, what do you think about this whole issue of senior preparedness?
Yeah, I think seniors have special needs, in that anybody senior or disabled have special needs, and they need to consider their equipment. They need to plan for too. So sometimes they've got wheelchairs or walkers or oxygen equipment, and they need to figure out what they're going to do if they have to leave their home quickly. What will they take with them, and how portable is it? And is there a vehicle that will be coming to get them that's large enough to put what they need in there? Not all vehicles are set up to be able to put a wheelchair in, even though they fold up. Do they have a fold-up one? Some people don't.
That's true.
They have electric wheelchairs, and those don't move so well. And actually, electric wheelchair, if you don't have a power source to regenerate it, won't last very long. And so if you're dependent on it, you might want to think of a backup plan, because those go out. Coordinating with neighbors, letting them know that, ask them if there is an emergency, would they be able to check in on them? At our office, we have these ready books available. You just have to call our information assistance line. And it has all the important information that you need in it. The thing we ask about if somebody wants one of these ready books, they're pretty thorough, and it can take either a family member has to agree to go through it and fill it out with them and put the things in it that are necessary, or one of our staff members will go out and help somebody if nobody else can. but it has a sign on the back that they can take off and put in their window that says help, or the other side is green and says they're okay. But at least they can, people driving by their home that they may know will know whether they should stop by or not.
Yeah, this is a great book. I have one in my hand right now that Michelle gave me, and it's a spiral-bound book. It's kind of almost like a reporter's notebook in that it folds over the top, and it's got various tabs on it. There's a place to put your name, address, and telephone number, a place to put a photo of yourself, emergency phone numbers, copies of prescriptions that you could get from your pharmacist and keep in here. It's basically the kind of thing that if, you know, when I think about this, I think about my dad who lives alone. What happens if something happens and I'm not there? You know, what does he have to be prepared to do on his own without me there? And so if you are a senior in your own home, having this book filled out with the help of a relative or someone from one of your agencies could mean that when somebody comes to your home, a neighbor, and says, let's get you out of here because it's an emergency, you can have this book with you that will really make sure that you'll get what you need when you get to a shelter or to a hospital. You'll know what your prescriptions are so that you can get them. And so this is a pretty vital thing. This seems like a really important resource.
Yeah, anybody who's isolated at all and maybe take a while to get to them, certainly that's something to have in place, ready to go. Having a backpack around that can easily slip into, along with some basic you know, granola bars and bottled water and stuff in it would be helpful too. But yeah, seniors need to think about a little further beyond just what most of us have to think about. What is it that keeps them going? What prescriptions do they have? What equipment do they have? And how do they plan for that to be available without electricity? And how do they plan for it to be mobile?
And so we're looking at, before the show, we were kind of brainstorming about this, and we came up with the idea that really 3 days' worth of food is really the minimum that a person should have in their house. So if you were in your house, had to kind of hang out there for a few days until someone could get to you, you know, it probably wouldn't be more than 3 days before someone would be able to check on you in some form or another, whether it was the police or a neighbor, and enough medication to last. So, Doug, can you talk a little bit about that kind of hunkering down in your house?
I do that anyway. But anyway.
Me too.
But, yeah, it's make sure, like we were talking before and Michelle mentioned, you know, a lot of times if you ask people, well, are you okay? You know, if the power, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Well, it's good to get the family involved or if, you know, you have a relationship with them and say, well, let's take a look and see what you've got and make sure because a lot of times you may have, oh, I've got enough food to probably last for a couple weeks. Yeah, but it has to be cooked or it needs boiling water or something like that. So, yeah, you need the food that's ready to eat or that can be eaten cold, doesn't have to be pre-cooked, you know. And also the medicines. A lot of time that with the prescriptions, they do overlap. You may get your new prescription and still have some of your old. That's okay. Keep that ahead because people can't go in and expect their insurance to pay, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. Expect them to. They're not going to say, okay, we'll give you a month in advance just in case. So it's good to keep those extras with you also. And, of course, blankets, that type of things. Now, if you are mobile and you do have a shop apart from your house that is, you know, well-ventilated and stuff like that, you do camping, you might have some camping equipment, some propane stoves and that kind of stuff. Don't take that in the house. It has to be outside, well-ventilated and all of that. So some people do have that, especially in our area, wood stoves that they can cook on, that type of stuff. So make sure you have and pet food is another thing. If, you know, you're one that runs down and just buys pet food for a couple days, well, what happens if you can't get out for a few days? Yeah, your dog can share the baked beans with you, I suppose, but do you really want that? So you make sure your pets are taken care of also when you're hunkering down. Make sure you do know your neighbors, as Michelle said. So someone can check on you to make sure everything's okay. But if you've got enough food, bottled water, in case you've got, you know, a well and a pump, another thing to think about is not flushing so much if you have a septic tank, because that everybody thinks, well, it's septic, it's fine. Well, no, you have a pump, an electric pump on your septic tank. So those type of issues and making sure you can, you know, just kind of check around your house and say, you know, if everything went south now for a few days, would I be okay? Would my pets be okay? Would I be able to communicate with people again, that landline phone? And speaking of pets, just as an aside, when the power is out or there's some emergency and it's kind of a sustained period of time, people can go to shelters. They're variously identified throughout our communities, usually places that have generators and lots of space. A lot of times it's the places that serve the congregate meals, that kind of things. And those places would go out through the radio, through this radio, and other places to say these are places you can gather. A lot of shelters will not take pets unless they're service animals, C&I dogs or service animals for people that have some sort of mobility issues. So what do you do about that? Do you have friends or neighbors or relatives that can take care of the pets? That's a big issue. And like you were saying before the show, you know, if it comes down to if you can't take my dog, you're not taking me either. A lot of people
will
go there.
I can relate to that. I mean, could I leave my golden retriever, you know, behind? I don't think so. I know a lot of people feel that way. And so then the whole idea of that pet preparedness for anyone, but especially for seniors, as we're talking about right now. Michelle, before the show, you were talking about maybe having a pet carrier.
That'd be a good idea. I know we have pets that we wouldn't be able to leave behind either, but I would feel better having pet carriers so that I could take them along if it's possible, and maybe they could stay in the car a little bit, like heat up that car. But it'd be easier to plan for them, to move them if you've got pet carriers. You may take them into an environment where other pets aren't as friendly, and you have a safe place for them then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking also about the whole idea of keeping your gas tank filled. That seems like a really valuable thing, because if worst comes to worst, you could you know, leave your car outside, not in the garage, and leave the car running and stay in there to get warm. So that can be a real boon to have your car, you know, a warm spot where you can go.
Well, plus, you can charge up if you have a cell phone, you can charge up your cell phone. If you have the adapter with your car running, you can get to the radio to hear what's going on around you. Because, again, as we were talking previously, how many people, myself included, I was talking to my mother-in-law last night, have battery-operated radios. I don't. We have one at work. And my mother-in-law said, oh, you know what? I haven't had one of those in years. And so it kind of brings to mind how dependent we are upon the power.
That's a really great thing to have, and there are a lot of them around.
One thing to think about that, though, if you're a senior that has trouble, you have to crank those things.
That's
very true. You have to crank them pretty
hard. That's very true. So maybe I think you can put batteries in it, too.
Yeah.
So maybe a battery-operated something. But having a flashlight, I mean, I have one that I just keep right by the bed. And I've got that flashlight, the radio, and everything if the power goes out. And that's not a bad thing to get. And they're maybe about $30 max. So it's not a terrible expense to get one.
Think about things like that as gifts.
As gifts,
because a lot of times people can't afford those if they're really tight, you know, and financially. So, and some of the places, Red Cross maybe, or the hospitals, or it would be good to do some research to find out who have them. But there are some pre-packed kits, little emergency kits, and they're little backpacks that have just some of the you know, moist towelettes, this type of thing in there, and some of the things that you might need, flashlights and so on. And I'm sure that you could buy the top-of-the-line thing that has everything from the solar-powered radio in it to it, or you can buy an expensive one. And some of them, you know, may even do it by donation. So it would pay to either go online or have someone go online for you and just sort of look up emergency kits, see what's available. Call the Red Cross, see what they have.
Yeah, I think the Red Cross, and I'm sure there are numerous other agencies that have lists online of what should go in that backpack, the 72-hour or whatever they call it.
Actually, we have a list available at our office.
Oh, you do?
Sure.
Okay, so somebody could put that together maybe with things they already have in their home. I know when I was talking about emergency preparedness with Dean Perez, who's the emergency services director for Clatsop County, and he was saying that he has one of these backpacks, and he has two pairs of work gloves, so that if you needed to go out and say turn off the water or the gas or something in your house, you'd have these work gloves, and you could give a pair of work gloves to somebody else so they could help you. And I thought, well, that's really thinking ahead. So all kinds of, you know, little things that you could put in there that would really make a big difference that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
If you have like natural gas, to have near your gas line the right kind of tool to cut it off.
Right.
Because you
the
might
wrench.
Yeah, you have to have the right thing there to be able to cut that off and leave that next to that spot, or, you know, attach it some way so it's always there. It was something I wouldn't have thought about. Yeah, some people couldn't turn off their gas.
Well, I just want to take a moment and remind you that you're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. We're talking today about emergency and disaster preparedness for seniors, but emergency preparedness really for all of us. We live in an area that is really kind of emergency prone. I know where I live in a pretty rural area. The power goes out if you kind of look sideways at the tree, and the wind blows a little bit. So I think this being prepared is a really good thing. I wanted to just sort of segue into kind of the emotional aspect of emergencies. Doug, you were talking a little bit before the show about, you know, in addition to the physical response that you have to be prepared, there's this emotional toll that an emergency takes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it does. There's a lot of and different people react differently to, you know, critical situations, but a lot of time there's a lot of confusion, and that confusion brings on more stress, and then that stress makes it difficult to make the decisions you need to make. And especially in, I mean, we're aware of that really in panic mode, but even when it's real busy and things that have been routine for the last 5 years all of a sudden aren't routine, some of that panic can set in, and it can show up as headaches and stomach aches and depression and anxiety, and sometimes just people freeze. You know, I've talked with people before. I said, well, you know, mom, dad, they've always taken care of themselves, but, you know, during the big storm, they just stood in the middle of the living room. Well, that's not uncommon. It's difficult to make decisions when everything that you're used to is no longer there. And then, of course, afterwards, especially if there's been damage, you go through that whole grief process, you know, where you've lost your routine, you've lost maybe, you know, parts of your house or something, you've lost everything that seemed safe and stable before, you now know is up for grabs. And that can be pretty disorienting. So I think it behooves family members and anybody out there helping to recognize that, you know, well, what's the matter with you? It's all over. You should be fine. Well, now the reaction's setting in. And so it's perfectly normal to have those sort of momentary periods of disorientation and confusion and depression and anxiety. Now, if it's prolonged, obviously you're going to talk to some professional about it. But during those times and immediately after, it's not uncommon to see temporary bouts of that type of reaction.
You know, people that have like early stage dementia or have pre-existing mental health issues, they're especially vulnerable. So
yes.
If you know people that have those conditions and normally operate fine, you may not even thought about it, but they could actually be in a crisis at that time. I know people who have dementia, for instance, sometimes have a hard time with adaptation skills. They're doing fine in their normal life, but then all of a sudden when something goes awry, like a disaster like that, they can't function. And people have kind of overlooked that idea that they may, like Doug said, just freeze. And not be able to adapt to that particular problem.
Well, and I think it's important too when you are, if you're, whether you're a neighbor, a professional, family member, or whatever, to sort of check your attitude before you go in to help somebody. It's not really helpful to go in and go, oh my God, what are we going to do? But to say, you know, just seeing if you're all right, let's see what's going on, and, you know, we've got these things and we can lend a hand. And so.
Well, it does sort of put, you know, family members and neighbors who are helping. I mean, you're assuming that first responder role, which is really kind of different from just being an ordinary citizen, you know, because
yes.
When you are going in to help somebody, you know, they're probably having more trouble than you are at that moment. And there's, I mean, I see that as sort of, you know, even at the station as we're doing things, when things are going to wherever in a handbasket, we've got to go on the air and be the voice that says it's all okay, even if it's not, even if we're striving for it to be okay. So I can kind of relate to that. One thing that I know that really depresses me is when the house starts to get cold. So losing heat, I think, is a big emotional issue for people. I know, you know, I've just seen that in various emergencies with my family, that it's when the house starts to get cold that people start to get really depressed about what's going on, because you can put on the lamps and it's cozy and cook on the camp stove, but if the house gets cold, that's a different story. That makes it a really unpleasant environment.
Right, and a lot of the homes in our area are not the the best insulated homes in the area. And I mean, some of the newer ones, you know, the standards and things for newer homes, newer construction, even for some of the modular homes, are pretty well insulated. But after a few days, you know, it's going to come through. And, of course, our older homes, after a day without heat, it gets very chilly.
I think I've given you the example of a lady I visited right before one of the major storms happened, the really cold storm we had before 2007. And what I learned from that experience dealing with this lady is that I went to visit her, and she told me everything was fine. She told me she had food, and she had a water source, and she knew her neighbors, and that she would have heat. Everything sounded right when I left there. Sometimes people don't share with you or even know what that is that they could run into. And it was the very beginning of the storm. And several days later, I found out that her daughter had called her from California, and nothing was right. She had electric heat, and the electric heater, of course, didn't work. And she didn't have the kind of food that she could easily prepare. And she thought she knew her neighbors, but all her neighbors had over the years changed, and she really didn't know those neighbors anymore. The daughter from California called the sheriff's department to come out and visit her, and she was really in a crisis. So asking if somebody, especially I think a senior citizen, asking if they're okay may not be enough. That's a lesson I learned. See that they're okay. See that the systems will work and they have enough food, and that they really do know their neighbors. Confirm it, because they may not share that with you.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's, I know we've talked about this before on a senior moment about how a lot of seniors sort of, they, of course, I mean, we all want to be self-reliant, and so it's kind of hard to admit that you need help.
Right.
So,
right.
So, but I think it's
and they don't want to bother anybody.
Right, they don't want to be a bother to anybody. So, but in this case, I mean, just for anybody who's listening and feels that way, for those of us who may be in a helping role, it's far more reassuring to us to know that you're being honest about what you need so that we can help you.
Right.
So, well, let's see. We're sort of getting toward the end of the show. Maybe we can kind of recap a little bit about what kind of things people, you know, need to be thinking about.
Well, one thing that if people could go online to redcross.org and do a search for emergency preparedness. Actually, if you do a search for emergency preparedness by seniors, for seniors, you can download a packet that tells you what you should have for your home, what you should have for your car. There's a little checklist in the front, and then it goes through step by step and talks about, you know, check this, make sure you have this. You can build your kit by adding these, and so it's very helpful to download that and look at it, and that's a free download and gives a lot of the information in a lot of detail.
Okay, any thoughts, Michelle, about what, you know, just overall preparedness for seniors?
Just double check what you got. Have a little to-go bag ready to go. Keep your medications updated. So if you're a person who normally lets your prescriptions run out to the very end, you may want to rethink that, because you can fill them a week ahead of time. So you have a few left, and you're keeping those fresh. I keep one medication that way that I know I have to have in an emergency. And so I'll fill it a week ahead, and I'll keep about 20 pills going all the time, but I'll use those the next time I get a prescription, and I transfer them out. So I'm keeping them fresh all the time. I know I need those. Cash on hand.
Good idea.
The machines don't always work. So have some cash stash somewhere that you can get to in an emergency, because those ATM machines may not be workable. And keeping your car, maybe never letting it get below half empty during the winter, so that you know you always have some cash on hand, because those pump stations may not work either. So, and the grocery stores empty out quickly. If the trucks can't come to our area, they empty out in a couple days. Those shelves were pretty empty during the last storm. So keep those foods that you can eat close by. You know, we used to all do that when we canned ourselves and we had I remember when I was growing up, my parents buying caseloads of canned foods and things. People don't really do that as much anymore. But having some on hand is a good idea all the time. So, and then our home-delivered meals clients, they get an emergency pack that's worth six meals in Clatsop County. And those have things like, you know, dried milk in them and cereal and prepared meals that are easily opened. Some people have electric can openers, you know. Have a can opener you can use without electricity. But those cans are the small little one-serving cans that have the flip tops on them. And so you can get the stews and raviolis and things like that in them. But have those kind of things on hand that you can easily get to that takes no electricity whatsoever.
And so that also means, though, that people need to be, like, checking the batteries once a year, but maybe every 6 months checking the cans in your storage so they don't go bad, maybe, or once a year checking them to make sure that that food hasn't expired so you're
probably
not trying to eat five-year-old chili or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, another thing that comes to mind is it may not be the seniors themselves that are having difficulty. They may have a wood stove. They may have all this other stuff, but there may be neighbors that don't, because we talked about how some of the younger folks don't even think about landline phones. They don't think about battery-operated anything. It's all, you know, they may not even have a landline service to their home because it's all by their cell phone. So you may be able to help them, but remember that they may have little kids. So if you do bring them into your home and they have little kids, remember that you may want to look around and kind of childproof your home a little bit that you haven't done in years and years and years. But, you know, it could be the flip side of that where the seniors are very prepared and the new techie people are going, now what do I do?
Right. So it's that sort of community mindset, absolutely. I guess, that emergencies affect everybody and, you know, relying on one another in an emergency. Another thing that we were talking about before the show is that, you know, big agencies like FEMA and the Red Cross may not be able to get here right away if it's a really bad emergency. And so relying on ourselves and our families and our neighbors is probably going to be the way it's going to be,
yes.
At least initially. Well, we are at the point in the show where it's contact information time. So, Michelle, can you tell us how it's the best way to get a hold of you and your agency?
Okay, so we're Northwest Senior and Disability Services. We're out in Warrenton by the animal shelter. And our phone number is 503-861-4200.
Okay.
And our website is nwsds.org.
Great. Thank you. How about you, Doug?
Our Long Beach office is 360-642-3634. Our Raymond office in North County is 360-942-2177. And our website is o3a.org.
Well, you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout here in the studio with Doug Schaefer and Michelle Lewis. We've been talking about emergency preparedness for seniors, and we hope you've learned some things that will help you be prepared. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month on A Senior Moment.